Good singing tonight. Thank you for those, Kathy. And hopefully you have your little booklets because there aren't any more back there. So there's no picking one up to look at tonight just to get through the night. I was looking there this afternoon and I thought, oh, they are all gone. So I trust you have yours as we touch on our last point. We're looking at the last of the main points, point number four, the parable of the sower. We move away from Brother Musgrave's information, if you will, the part of the outline that he gave us, and we move to the parable of the sower. So if you want, and turn to Matthew chapter 13, I think what I'd like to do is we'll read through all the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which all have the parable, and we'll read those verses that are noted, and then we'll get into this. This way we can kind of get the full flavor of what's presented here as we then come back. But we'll probably focus on Matthew, so if you want to follow through with the scriptures, and we'll come back to Matthew as we work our way through some of this. But in Matthew chapter 13, we look at verses 3 through 9, and then 18 through 23, says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And then drop down to verses 18 and following. It says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." This is Christ's explanation. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a little while, or endureth. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the world, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now, if you want to hold your finger there, we'll cross over into Mark and read his account of this. Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, and then 13 through 20. He says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withereth away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 60, and some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then down verses 13 and following. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. but have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And then to Luke chapter 8. Start at verse 5, and we'll read through verse 15. And a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So we have the full context, if you will, of the parable of the sower. So if you want to turn back to Matthew, that's fine. And we'll go from there. But as we look, we conclude our series with this, personal preparation for presenting Christ. And I do want to look at the parable of the sower, because I realize why they say it, but when you stop to think about this parable, I think of it more as the parable of the soils, because that's what we're looking at, the distinctions there amongst the soils. And the parable deals with the conditions of men's heart in relation to receiving the word of God. And this is the realm of the working of God the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so as we've touched on presenting and preparing ourselves, I think it does us well to look at this on both sides. Our hearts. Which field are we? We have four opportunities here, and as we look at this, realize that these things aren't constant. You're not stuck forever as being the soil of the wayside or the soil of thorny ground or the good soil. I think at times we find ourselves in all four of them. There may be times when, yes, we are hardened. That wayside speaks of the road, the path, where the people would travel. You think of some of our dirt roads around here. How do they get hardened? Packing them down by driving on them. That's typically what packs down the earth. That's what they're looking at here. You don't see too many corn plants or wheat or milo or anything else that's growing around here in the middle of the road, these dirt roads, do you? I mean, I don't travel them often, but I travel them enough to know I've not seen anything around here sprung up in the middle of one of the dirt roads. And I'm pretty sure there's been some seed that has found itself there. I mean, I know that because, you know, our first year here, we had a Milo plant growing up on the corner at our place. And we live in town. I have no idea where that Milo seed came from. But it sprouted up in that corner and it grew. It was nice looking Milo when I started posting it on Facebook and people were noting it. It got some good water drainage because of how the street drains, and there was a crack in the curbing. So there was moisture there pretty much all summer long for it to drink in and grow. And then somebody just uprooted it and took it away one day, and I was really bummed because I was enjoying watching it grow. I thought, okay, at first I didn't know what it was. Okay, is this corn or is this Milo? I can't really tell. So I'm just going to let it grow. I'm not going to weed it down and watch it grow and see what happens. And it turns out it was Milo. And like I said, I was bummed the day that I came home and realized my Milo wasn't greeting me on the corner as I turned onto my road. Who took it out? I mean, they took everything. It's gone. They didn't whack it down. They didn't take the top off. They removed the whole plant, roots and all. So I know seed gets around. You know, our farmers may be planting it specifically in their lots, in their fields, but seed gets around. And again, I've never seen that. Doesn't mean that it won't happen, but you typically don't see it there. And we see that picture here. So we see these pictures of the types of ground, which I would say applies to us. We need to be careful. But we must also remember that's who we're dealing with. Who are we dealing with as we present the gospel? We may quickly find out that, you know, they're not interested. Satan's there. He's the birds in this stony ground that just come in quickly and take it out. They're not interested in it. And we can understand, yeah, that was a stony ground. That was a stony heart. They weren't wanting to listen. Can they change? To which I would say yes. God can plow up their hearts. God can bring situations into their life that will plow up that hardness and make it good ground that can receive the word. So let's look at our cast of characters as we look at our outline a little bit. The characters in this parable, this picture that God's given to us, we have the sovereign. He's unseen in this parable. God the Father is not mentioned. He's the unseen guest, as it were, here. And a God who sits over all his creation, he is desirous for all to hear. We see that exemplified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mixing up our metaphors a little bit, we move from fields to sheep, as Christ speaks up in Matthew chapter 9, as he notes, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It's interesting how Christ mixes the metaphors there. He looks at the vast population, the multitude, and has compassion on them as sheep having no shepherd. But then when he brings up, but pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, pray that he would send forth laborers into his harvest to bring forth the harvest. We typically don't use the word harvest when referring to livestock, to sheep, to cattle, when it's time for them to be, you know, brought to the feedlot and processed. We don't call that a harvest. I mean, Chris is back there shaking, yeah, we don't. That's a different category. When we think of harvesting, we think of plant life, what we've planted in the field. So it's interesting how Christ mixes those two things up, and we all understand it. We know what he's getting at. But he notes for us, pray ye therefore the Lord would send forth laborers, and we've looked at that word. That word send forth is us getting booted from behind and pushed out into the fields. It's not Christ saying, okay, Brother Post, you need to go. And you need to get out in the harvest field of mine. It's Brother Post, go, and he gets you a nice little boot on the backside, and out the door you go. It is a forceful word that he's using. I find it interesting how our translators don't always put that emphasis there to let us know that, yeah, we're not always that thrilled about getting into the harvest field. And we need some pushing. We need some, not incentive, because that's not what he's doing. He's putting some force behind it. Get out into the field. So we have our sovereign, who, again, he's unseen in our parable. We have the stealer. We're keeping the alliteration going, so there's got to be an S here. For the devil, who desires to deprive men of the word of God. He's pictured as the fowls of the air. We have an adversary that does not want the heart to gather in the word of God. So we have competition when it comes to giving the gospel. We need to realize that. I think too often we think, well, because I'm in God's work, because this is God telling me to do this, this is going to be easy, it's going to be no problems, and, you know, we're kind of come back struck with, man, they slammed the door in my face. They threw the track down. They, you know, whatever the case may be, and it's like, well, man, that was no fun. And we get, unfortunately, I think, perturbed with God, like, well, God, why didn't you help me out here? Why don't you make it easy for me? Well, as we see in this parable, it's not easy. Because the soil of men's hearts vary. And we need to be going, as we've already noted, prayerfully, but realizing, you know, we don't know the soil of men's hearts. God does. We're just to go and give the seed, to sow it. God will do the rest. But we do have that adversary, that stealer, who likes to come in and snatch it away so they don't get it and they can't benefit from it. We do have the sower, anyone who brings the seed to the soil. That's us. We're the sowers. We have the opportunity of fulfilling God's great commission, as we see in those next few points. And we see it in the Great Commission. That's our commission. Go. Take the word of God and get out in the fields. And as I've touched on, you know, in other places, you know, we cannot expect to see a harvest and be part of the harvest if we're sitting in the house. The only way you can get a harvest is to be out in the field, because that's where the harvest is. If we're sitting in the house, we're not going to get any harvest. So we've got to be out in the fields. We've got to be out where people are, giving the word of God, sharing the gospel, and letting God bring in the harvest. Again, relating back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we may be the one initially giving the seed, sowing it. Or we may be the one watering it. Somebody else has given them the gospel. They've not responded in faith yet. And we may be watering it. They may not be ready for us. But we've added some water to help it grow, to help God use it in their hearts. Or we may be the one that, yes, is we're giving the gospel and they're ready to respond and they trust Christ and we praise the Lord for that. We're the harvester. We came with the seed not knowing whether we were sowing it, whether we were watering it, and God in his graciousness was, this one's ready for harvest. And you got to be the one to harvest and see that one come to Christ. But if we're not out in the field with the seed, we're not going to see it. That's a guarantee. So we've got to be out there with the Word of God. And He gives us these great commissions, if you will. We have three of them noted here. Luke has one as well as John, of telling us, go. It's not bring them in. I realize we sing a song, bring them in, bringing in the sheaves. But our commission is go. Get out there. Thrust us out. We have, as we see in that last point, and I realize I'm not reading the verses because our time is going by quick. We are ambassadors. We're representatives of our Lord. We're the ones that take it. Moving down, the seed, as we've already seen, the seed is the Word of God. And we are there for it. And so the soil, the hearts of men. And we find ourselves in one of those four soil conditions. And since we have farmers around here, the soil condition can change, can it not? I'm seeing some soil condition. I'm wondering, as you go out in Northview towards Centennial, one of the last sections there, there's been a dirt road that's gone out to a spot. There used to be a silo. The silo's down now. It had a hedgerow of some trees. And if you've been by there now, you've noticed the hedgerows of tree is down. There was a concrete pad back there, and that's been torn up. The old rundown silo is gone. I'm thinking they're taking that lost acreage because the field works around it. Nope, they're not. You know what's going on?
It's for businesses.
It's for businesses?
It's possibly going to be a place to put the stuff that's on First Street, like Bonds has.
Infrastructure for Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
Okay.
Battery storage.
Okay.
There's all kinds of things that they're trying to get through there. They've got it stopped for right now, but
yeah, I know the data centers and stuff like that. I haven't looked at the plat map to see was that section cut out of the larger field.
That whole quarter is set up for businesses.
Okay, so they're not planting it then.
No.
Okay, well.
They might until they get businesses.
Right, but again, not knowing that, my thoughts were they're expanding that section. Let's get rid of this so that we can plant, because that's a couple acres that has been unused for crops. I mean, it's sitting there doing nothing. You've got the field all around it. And so that was my initial thought just watching it go by. Like I said, I've never pulled it up on the plat map to see how that figured in. But yeah, you got these other things going on. So. But, you know, we have the ability to work the soil, do we not? If we have thorns, things growing up that we don't want, what does the farmer do? He works the soil to get rid of it. Remove those because he knows that that's an impediment to the crop that he's planting. And so we can work the soil to make changes. We may have had, going back to my initial thought, we may have had a hardened path through a section for whatever reason. And now we're wanting to change it. But it's packed down, it's hardened. What is he going to do? He's going to plow it up and loosen that soil so that it will take seed. So the soil can change because, one, we have an all-sovereign God who can change hearts. He can plow those hearts and bring it to be a soil that is willing to receive the Word of God. So we have the soil as the hearts of men. We see the conditions of the soil. The wayside, again, looking at the road, the traveled way, it's hard-packed soil. It's resistant to germinating seeds. And of course, it's vulnerable to have the seeds removed. The birds love it. Hey, the seed's just sitting out there. We can come by and pick it right up and then have a nice feast for lunch, breakfast, and dinner. The stony rocks, it's a scant layer of topsoil, enough soil to promote germination, to have moisture, as one of our readings notes, but it's not sufficient to maintain proper growth. And so you've got that going on. You have the thorn, sufficient soil, but it's crowded with undesirable plants already rooted in place. And we see the world's influence in the heart. So that, yes, there's little space for the Word of God to flourish and thrive. And then, of course, there is the good soil, sufficient soil, ready for cultivation, that will take it and they'll see it grow. And again, we can find ourselves in one of these four conditions ourselves. I mean, we can easily look at others and say, oh yeah, that's them. But we need to realize we may find ourselves like this at times, where we hear the Word of God, but we're not hearing it. It just, boom, it just dies on us because we've hardened. You find that, I don't know the passage, but you see that in Mark's gospel as he talks about the disciples. It's noted their hearts were hardened. The disciples, the ones who were with Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, ministered alongside him. And yet it notes their hearts were hardened. They weren't getting it. And we need to be careful about that in our own lives, that we keep it so that it is good soil, ready for cultivation. We have the concerns of the Savior, point three. He's the husbandman. He knows the soil of the hearts of men is not static. He knows those conditions change. He knows there's an adversary constantly disrupting the work. He has not, and he will not give up on the soil of the hearts of men. The husbandman, the farmer, our God, is at work, will be at work. And as we are reminded in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We have a God that does want to see that hard, soiled person come to know Christ. We can give him the word. Yes, it may be snatched, but it's been given to them. A step has been made. God can be at work. You say, but the word's been snatched. Yes, but God can still work because he's God. And he can be working in that heart to draw that person unto himself. And so we need to, I think, really come back to that point where we had before of praying for ourselves and praying for those that we will come in contact with, that God, go before us. You're the husbandman. You're the farmer. Prepare those hearts so that they'll receive the word that we have an opportunity to give. We'll get into, if you want to call it, the process of seeking to reach others with the gospel in the coming weeks, using, again, Brother Musgrave's stuff that he has in the exchange. Because of the nature of that, I wish I could put it into a booklet form like I have here. But because it is his material, that's kind of the wrong thing to do. Yes, I could ask about changing it. I mean, he's got this in other formats. So I may do that. I may reach out to him and see what I can do with that in that regard. If I can, we will have it in a booklet form. Obviously, with credits to where credit is due, it is his material, not mine. But I trust that we'll be taking it in, learning, and mindful of it as we go forward for our Lord and living for Him and serving Him in the day and age which God's given to us.